everybody, this is Gecko's Gamescast. I'm Eric, and across the virtual room from me is Rich.
Hey, you're getting really good at that that speedy intro.
I really thought that was the worst one by far.
which episode
number is this? Is this 49?
48.
Oh, we're two away.
Yeah.
That's a big milestone.
I thought the Last of Us episode was going to end up on 50, but it's going to be 49. But we'll play more of it by 50.
50 can be like a celebration.
Well, yeah.
For us.
For somebody.
For us.
Oh, okay.
We've almost hit it. 52, yeah. We mean 52 weeks, which is a year.
It's been over a year, though, because we rebranded.
Yeah, but this is new.
I recently had those internet memory app bullshits where it was like us tweeting out the first episode, and I was like, look at that.
Hey, would you look at that? Yeah, but I mean, it's like a technical year, you know?
Yeah, no, I feel you.
It's like, hey, look at us.
Who thought we'd be like, look at us?
I didn't think we'd get this far. Well, nah. That's a lie. I knew we would. We had good traction.
Yeah, we're good at stuff.
Once we hit episode 20, I knew.
You knew it was smooth sailing.
Yeah, because you know when you wake up one day, you're like, hey, remember that one podcast we were doing? I don't want to do that anymore, because I want to do something else. Yeah, or just, okay, well, that happened. No, but it's like, hey, you ever just wake up and you're like, hey, instead of doing the podcast today, I'm going to eat this Pop-Tart instead.
This time next year, I'll be sitting here going, hey, Eric, I'm glad, way back in September of 2020, we decided to cancel the Gecko Gamecast and start this Golden Girls podcast rewatch.
Yeah, and Blanche is insufferable. I don't know why anybody even deals with her.
Don't get me started on Rose.
I think it's pretty cool. But anyways, on the Gecko Gamescast, we talk about games and life.
And life with games.
Yeah, and the life of
the
games.
Name of my sitcom.
I sometimes feel like I'm living in a game.
Where I share a split-level apartment with Hideo Kojima.
That's a dream. That's a dream, and I have a
feeling
Hideo would be
kind
of the guy who's standoffish at first, but then he kind of warms up to you at the end of the season.
Yeah, and we don't speak each other's language, and neither of us is making an attempt to learn.
Yeah, and neither of you can even muster an ounce of care to try.
I just get home and there's like leather jackets all over the apartment, and I'm like, Hideo, why aren't you cleaning up? And he's like,
how do you know that's mine? I'm like, well, come on. I guess big stuff to talk about would be the PlayStation 5.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
you guys, have you heard about a system/console called the PlayStation 5?
I have. I feel like we're probably going to dedicate most of our time to that, and I don't think we played a whole lot new, so you want to just dive through that quick?
Yeah, I just played Final Fantasy. There we go.
Yeah, we played most of the same stuff. I mean, I played about 2 or 3 hours of... Persona 4 is on the PC now.
Mm-hmm.
Stealth dropped out of nowhere. There was leaks, but technically, had the leaks not happened, it would have been out of nowhere. Persona 4 is a fantastic game. It is one of my favorite JRPGs. One of my favorite games, period. It's $20 on Steam. It's finally made it off the Vita. That game's great. I'd recommend it to anyone.
Yeah, what a drop. Stealth drop.
I think if you pay $25, you get the soundtrack.
Really?
Yeah, I definitely did that.
Yeah, that's a good deal.
But yeah, the big stuff today is going to be the PlayStation stuff. I figured that'd be the bulk of the show. So before we get to that, I'll run you through the drop.
Yeah.
If you're ready.
Give me that drop.
Curious Expedition 2 comes to PC on June 17th. Fortnite Chapter 2 Season 3, that's a fucking mouthful.
What?
That comes to PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch on June 17th. Pokemon Sword and Shield, the Isle of Armor expansion is out on Switch on June 17th. I'm gonna dive into that, so I'll be able to talk about that a little bit next week. Best Friend Forever hits PC and Switch June 18th. Namco Museum Archives Volumes 1 and 2 hit PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch on June 18th. Waking hits PC and Xbox One on June 18th. The Academy, the first Riddle, hits PC June 19th. Burnout Paradise Remastered comes to Switch June 19th.
Mm-hmm.
The Coma 2, Vicious Sisters, comes to PS4 and Switch on June 19th. The Last of Us 2 hits PS4 June 19th. Wise Memory of Celesta Remaster comes to PS4 June 19th, And finally, SpongeBob SquarePants Battle for Bikini Bottom Rehydrated hits PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch on June 23rd.
Damn.
What a drop, huh?
I've always heard about those Wise games.
Yeah, they seem to be, like, pretty loved.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
There sure are a whole lot. I think Y7 is the one people always recommend to me.
Are they known for just being tough? Is that me?
I don't know. I think they're, like, really dense JRPGs.
There's just always some... I remember, or rather, I always see when Steam's having a sale, they'll always have, like, the Wise collection. There are so many of them. I'm just like, jeez.
Yeah, I know I can't speak to what this one is, but the one people always tell me, if you're going to try and get into Wise, I think it's 7.
Yeah. I'm pretty hyped for Burnout Paradise.
Burnout Paradise is great. I got it on PS4 when it got remastered on there. That is such a turn yourself off and just relax game for me. Great soundtrack. It's fun as hell.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, for sure.
That impact camera.
I'm not even the biggest fan of car games, but that one's pretty much up there. It's just so much fun.
It's so fucking arcadey, and like I was saying, the fucking takedown camera. Do you remember Dangerous Driving when that came out? It was basically just Burnout Crash Mode, made into its own game. And I ended up playing a lot of that, but my biggest complaint about it was, like, the thing that makes Burnout work so well when it comes to, like, Crash Mode and stuff is how fast it gets you back into the action. Dangerous Driving took way too long there was too much downtime in between crashing and loading back up. And I remember feeling, like, super disappointed in that, which is a shame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure. But I even forgot about SpongeBob SquarePants Battle for Bikini Bottom. I like that game a lot. Not enough to get it again.
No.
But I liked it when I played it a lot.
I like that it's getting a second shot here. That's kind
of whatever
cool.
Happened to SpongeBob SquarePants Employee of the Month? What, did they forget that one?
I don't think I really played that one.
Yeah, I don't think anybody did. Wait, everybody just forget that the best SpongeBob game had already been released. It was a point-and-click adventure, very much like Sam & Max. I had gotten it once for Christmas, and it was a lot of fun. It was solely just the classic Foundation point-and-click where you just make a bunch of bartering trades with people just to get things done.
Naturally. Okay,
which
so...
Which I always kind of appreciate anyways.
Day of the Tentacle, but with Squidward.
Yeah. And after playing that game when I was younger, I was a youngin.
6 months.
Yeah, I was a fucking child, and even more of a grown child than I am now. And I was playing that game, though. That was the first time where I ever just thought, after I had beaten it, I was like, huh, point-and-click adventures are really just, go here, give me this, but in order to do this, I need this, and the only way you can get this is going to Y person, and Y person needs this from Z. And it's pretty much just like that for... A couple of hours.
There's a whole quest subcategory of that in MMOs now.
Yeah, everybody just wants stuff. And but if you put somebody else holds here, the key to that stuff.
But I'll be trades these with crazy. You.
Yeah, it is. And I was just thinking, imagine if real life had just operated that way. It's like, oh, hey, Rich.
It kind of did for a while.
Hello, Rich. I would like you to... open the door to your house. Yes, Eric. Well, in order to open the door to my house...
I'm going
to
need your Resident Evil 4D handle.
Yeah, I'm going to need this.
To enrich my Resident Evil experience.
So I go to Resident Evil... So I go online. I try to find that, and they say, well, in order to get that, I need a taco from Taco Bell. But can you get that for me? And then I go to Taco Bell, and then they say, I need money.
But in order for me to eat that taco, I need insulin.
I need insulin, and there's only one place to go for that. And then I try to get the insulin, and they say, well, in order for me to get this insulin, I would love to give it to you. However, it is locked in this lockbox for mysterious purposes, and I need the key. And the only person I know who has the key is my childhood friend who I lost touch with years ago. Can you please go find him? I think he's in Wisconsin.
And rekindle our relationship. Yeah.
But what fucking blink, and it's 20 hours.
What a lot of people don't know is that that part of the game, there's actually a way to circumvent that and get the gun early and use the gun to get in the safe.
They're just like, hey guys, if you actually glitch this, you can get in. But yeah, I that's pretty cool. That game kind of just came back from the dead. It was very unexpected. But yeah, Last of Us 2 is definitely going to be the golden child of the releases this week, seeing how people were waiting, 7 years for it? And for those of you who clearly, if you haven't gone on the internet, you probably haven't even heard of it. I'd be surprised, but it's reviewing, like,
it's one of those things where you might be like, that's a thing I've heard of.
Yeah, and I mean, as everybody could expect, it's reviewing incredibly well. But we'll talk about that in a little bit, too.
I don't, I did want to bring up at least briefly, because I picked it up this week. Itch.io is doing the bundle for racial justice and equality. It's $5. There's almost 2,000 games in this bundle. I did finally buy it this week. It's a lot to fucking sift through. Like, even when you... It's one of the things with Itch.io, like, your interface on there, when you download it, it's like, hey, we're going to slowly, like, over the next couple of months, like, slip these into your library, because it's a lot, and it'll probably overwhelm your account. So for now, here's like a master list, and you can kind of sift through and immediately add the ones you want to play, but we're just gonna like dump them in lots over time as to not overwhelm your account.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I have to say, I'm thinking later this week I'm gonna cancel my Last of Us 2 physical and just download it.
Yeah, that's probably for the best. It's a big download to my understanding, so keep that in mind.
How big we talking?
Like, obnoxiously large. I don't remember offhand, but I remember people talking like, oh no, Last of Us 2, she's a gonna blow.
She's a biggin'. And that's what sources say. Well, I know that Modern Warfare, when they just released Season 4 of Warzone, that was like an infamous 80 gigs.
Yeah!
And Infinity Ward was like, hey guys. Or I'm sorry, Activision was like, hey guys. Don't worry, we're going to look into this shit. And I'm pretty sure nothing happened because I still had to download 80 gigs.
You're like, I got nothing, sir.
Yeah, their compression...
is awful, apparently.
Is so impressive for being so bad.
Yeah.
It's so bad. Every time they even have an update, it's like 40 to 50 gigs. And this one just took the cake. But that's that. So I can't even imagine. Last of Us is probably going to run me over 100. Maybe? I don't know, actually.
I think it's like 80 or 90 or something insane.
Yeah. I read that it was like a 25-hour game, so I'm sure it's going to be a little chunky.
Little chunky boy.
But the PS5 came out unofficially.
With news. Yeah, how about that weird-looking Wi-Fi router?
Yeah, I dig it.
I like it. Initially I was like, that's where really obnoxiously... Have you seen the infograph where they show the actual size of it?
Yes.
It's bigger than any other console ever. Yeah.
Which like, is impressive. Stuff. It's impressive. It just looks different. And I think that's exactly what they were going for, as they always do.
It's funny, actually, when you think of, like, the very opposite direction Microsoft went in. Because, the hardware on the Xbox looks fantastic, of course. But the actual, like... box is the most boring design I've ever seen in my fucking life.
I really like the box. I can't help it. I look at this box and I'm thinking, you know, it's not bad.
I did see an image someone put of the just for people so they're aware, there's two different versions of it that we don't have price points yet. One with a disc drive and then one digital only version. I'm gonna get the one with the disc drive. That's just me. Like, I don't think we're at a point yet where I'm ready to be confidently all digital. And I still like getting physical. But when you lay this on its side, the one with the disc drive looks like it's always whispering a secret to you. So I'm gonna put some big old googly eyes on it, because I saw a picture of that and I was like, yeah, that's my console.
that's my big console. I dig it overall. I gotta give PlayStation props here, because they always do something new, and they just know how to market. They know how to market what they got, and they're always in they're always kind of present themselves as the future. And at first, when I saw this whole design, I was thinking, the fuck, this thing's like a skyscraper.
But now I'm like, the future is now, old man.
Yeah, exactly. Now I'm putting on my Back to the Future glasses. The future is here. I mean, throughout the entire showcase, what did it? I think it ran like an hour and 15.
Yeah.
They pretty much just prolonged the entire showcase to show all the games first, and then they'll show the console, which made sense. Yeah. But yeah,
that's no the price closer points. Is to be like, and here's the box.
Yeah, and they had no price points for it, which I thought was interesting.
PlayAsia says it's going to be $700.
I'm going to look up into. Wait, what? What happened?
Have you not seen this? PlayAsia is already taking pre-orders.
Oh, okay, I saw that. But apparently, that's
it's a placeholder. Yeah,
it's a placeholder. I saw no that though, and I was thinking, gee whiz, that's
my
a lot.
Best guess. I think you and I may have spoken about this. Is I think they said the box costs $450 to make. I'm going to guess they're going to take a loss on it, and I think the version with a disc drive is going to be $549.95. The version without is going to be
$449.95. I agree with the 100% discrepancy with it, or the 100% difference, I should say.
It's at least $100 difference. It has to be. It's not worth making two boxes otherwise.
Yeah, why the hell? I mean, you're getting a 4K Blu-ray disc for. If it was even less than that, it wouldn't make sense. So it's definitely going
to
be a hundo.
Think about, like, to market. Those drives probably cost, like, what, like $40?
Yeah.
And it's got to be at least $100 difference, or it makes no sense to have two different boxes.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to personally probably just get one physical, the physical edition with the disc drive.
Yeah, same here.
Like a 4K Blu-ray player. I thought PlayStation, I'm glad Sony even caught up to this crap, because the Xbox One has had a 4K Blu-ray disc for the entirety of its console shelf life, so it's about time.
Did I ever tell you the weird Blu-ray drive story with my Xbox?
No, tell me.
Okay, I had a couple months back, where my internet was out and Verizon couldn't. This was like at the start of the pandemic, so Verizon couldn't get a guy out here for like 3 days or so.
Mm-hmm.
So I had no internet, right? And I'm immediately like looking for things to watch or relax with or whatever. And I'm like, oh, I actually got a bunch of DVDs and Blu-rays and shit sitting around, and my Xbox is hooked up to the TV. So I had Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, the entire series, on DVD.
Mm-hmm.
So I gotta pop that bad boy in. And I find out that I deleted for space the software for playing Blu-rays on my Xbox, and now I'm not connected to the internet, so the drive is useless.
Fun. Well, now you can get a PlayStation, and then you can get a drive.
I bet you the PlayStation doesn't do that.
I am sure it would not. And this one, actually, it's different because it's solely standing up. It's always just standing upright.
I've seen images
of it on its side. It doesn't look...
You can lay it on its side.
I have. I've seen it. It just looks weird. I don't know. I think the design is meant for it to be standing.
Well, the thing is, the stand apparently like has a weird pivot and fixture point because of the way the vents are.
Mm-hmm.
So, because when you lay it on its side, it has to be kind of lifted. Otherwise, it's not going to vent properly.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing. But,
We'll see how that shakes out.
We'll see what happens when they get the prices and all that crap. I would love to know why they're holding back on pricing.
I think they're waiting to see what Microsoft says their price is.
Yeah, I know. That's why.
It also feels like it's too late to make that decision.
I feel like
that decision has to have been made already.
That's why. We're talking holiday, which is about 4 to 5 months out.
It's probably November.
Yeah. Oh, for the release of it? Yeah, totally. And we're already in the half year point. I just think that if it was like February, I'd get it. You know, you don't want to
I feel like there's no way nobody's made that call yet.
I know. Well, no, it totally has. It totally has. Think about how many calls had to be made just to fucking show the box at this point. But, yeah. That's why I always think it's interesting. It's like they always give you the drip. PlayStation always, actually, most of these game companies, they always just give you the drip. They're like, hey, guys, it's the future. And I'm like, well, how much does the future cost, my guy? And they're like, well, I'll tell you in, like, 3 months.
What? We're thinking about it.
Yeah, we'll mull that over, and we'll tell you later. And I think that's so strange to me. But there's probably some business reason for it. I don't know what it is, because I don't...
I'm not a
working businessman in those areas. So who's
I'm not a salary man, so no. I couldn't tell you.
But the actual showcase they showed plenty of games.
Yeah, not like I think you and I even said, like, it's not a lineup that's going to set the world on fire, but it's pretty decent. And it's
better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, they opened with Spider-Man Miles Morales, which, boy, was there some confusing contention upon what that is later on.
Mm-hmm.
It is now, to our understanding, despite, like, mass confusion, it is a sequel to Insomniac Spider-Man, but not a full sequel. It's a standalone game in the scope of, like, an Uncharted Lost Legacy. So not, like, a full $60 title, likely. But a pretty sizable and standalone project. That I'm actually very excited for Miles Morales, the second Spider-Man in comic book lore, getting his own Spider-Man game.
Which, I think it was weird, because when you were watching this, they gave you no indication as such.
Yeah.
They're just like, here's Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, sweet, a new game.
And then later they were like, oh, no.
Yeah, they go, no. Well, it's not. And then I believe IGN and other outlets were like, oh, it's an expansion. And they're like, that's also not true.
A Sony exec said it was an expansion, and then Insomniac was officially like, no, it's not a full-size AAA title, but it's a standalone game. That likely, like, it's almost one of those things that Austin Walker tweeted about this, and I'm like, that is the part that seems shitty. Is he was like, of course it's not a standalone game, because we're always the Freedom Cry, never, like, the full-on sequel. I still hope it's given the right treatment, because my understanding is why the way for anyone who's played that game, like, the lore of this Spider-Man universe, why would you backpedal? Like, Miles needs to be fully playable in the full-on sequel, even if you're switching between Spider-Men, and the game should be called Spider-Man 2, Too Many Spider-Men.
Too many Spider-Men, and put the number 2.
Yeah, exactly.
I had a feeling when I watched it, because just the timing just seemed way too fast. I had a feeling it was going to be like a $40 standalone kind of deal.
Yeah, and they talked about how it's the engine from Insomniac Spider-Man, like, gussied up for the PS5, so I'm like, that makes sense. Because I'm sure they're reusing assets to turn this thing around quicker. Like, it's going to be the same New York, new with Miles as the main character and a new story, which I'm excited for that. I'm really excited to play that.
Mm-hmm.
I love that game.
Oh, for sure. I think it's going to be good regardless. I'm curious to see what the official, I guess long term, I'm even thinking what an actual Spider-Man 2 is going to look like as well.
Yeah.
And I'll just see how they handle it. But yeah, no, I thought it was still cool. I thought it was, for a split second when I was watching that, I was thinking, wow, is this Infamous? Just for a moment.
I get why you would think.
Because it had electricity right in the very beginning, and they were just mentioned being a hero, and I was like, damn,
that'd be back. Cool.
Yeah, I just thought it'd be pretty cool, because Infamous is always one of those titles that I wish was just revived.
Yeah.
But,
well, for Insomniac's case, like, Sucker Punch was the one who did, I confused that. But yeah, very similar vibes in that sense. I mean, now Insomniac's just straight up making Spider-Man games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So that was fine. But alongside of that, they also just threw in a couple of indie games and a couple of other games that we already knew were coming out, like, say, Godfall.
Yeah.
Every time I see a Godfall trailer now, I become less and less interested in Godfall.
It looks so generic.
It does. And I swear, anytime any game plays the soundtracks that they do whenever they're showing those games, it's kind of like a hip-hoppy, EDM-y kind of beat to it, where it goes, bow, 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 and they're just showing, like, I don't know, medieval fantasy people fighting each other. I'm like, well, this doesn't really track. I'm like, this doesn't make me feel like I'm in the game.
This reminds me exactly of all those medieval studies courses I took.
Yeah, because, like, they'll say, oh, check out these new weapons, and somebody literally has a spear, and you're thinking, oh, sweet, spears, and you're thinking some nice arrangement's gonna play that's just badass, but no, it's like, with, like, flashing lights, and I'm thinking, what the fuck? this isn't what's gonna be in the game. But every time I see it, though, yeah, it just looks so generic, and I'm just not a fan of it, and it always seems like they have a different selling point to just say, look how many weapons you can use, and
I'm like, nah.
And in my from what I've ever played, in my experience, the more weapons, the more trouble, because it usually just means that there's going to be imbalances all over the fucking place. Yeah. I'd be impressed if it was even a well-balanced game for that kind of shit, but I don't know, but it looked okay. But there were other games, like GTA 5 and GTA 5 Online.
If you like those, you're gonna get them.
I thought that was so strange to open the entire thing with that.
It's so weird. Like, we're giving you all GTA 5. Like, I guess.
Well, I'm sure Rockstar paid them a fucking truckload of money and said, hey, man, you take this. Just play our game first. And that's a game that actually had me thinking for a split second, wow, that game is so old. Grand Theft Auto 5 is an old game.
Yeah.
And I thought it was so interesting that they're just showing this game and it's nothing. It's just Grand Theft Auto 5. And they say, hey, but wait, there's more. When you get this game, you're going to get GTA Online for free. And I was thinking, well, that's even more interesting because... what?
My immediate thought process for the record when that happened was, I go, excuse me, isn't GTA Online just a part of GTA 5? Did you have to pay more for that?
Yeah. I was thinking, wow. Thank you. But yeah, to my knowledge, I don't know how far, I am sure that the online
now it's removed as its own entity.
Yeah, it's pretty much its own thing at this point. But yeah, when it was initially sold, it came with it. And I remember even that the online was so fucking broken when it launched that I got sick of it immediately.
Yeah,
and never
it wasn't
it
better until years later. So we like we tried it once, I remember, and then we're like, well, never doing that again.
Yeah, because it was just awful. Yeah, so I guess that's cool. And, you know, GTA Online still is going to have that shelf life. It's going to be taken on the PS5. People are still going to play it. I mean, I've even seen some Twitch RPs, which were hilarious at certain times with people just playing GTA, but I didn't give a rat's ass. But they had other indies like Bug Snacks. Who doesn't like a good Bug Snack?
I love a good Bug Snack.
Is that the
game from the Octodad devs?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
So the googly-eyed strawberries.
Yes. So when you find for anybody, number one, I highly encourage you to just watch the trailer first. Number two, download the song, and you can thank me or hate me later because it's been in my head. It is true. Everyone's saying that this song is sticking in your mind, and it has stuck in my mind.
It's an earworm.
I can't get it out.
An earbug, if you will.
Yes. It belongs in a museum, and it's a classic. I will say Bug Snacks, when I first saw it on a trailer, I was watching with some other friends, and they immediately were like, this game does not look like a next-gen title, and it does not. But it's in the creative, it's in the artistic direction of the Octodad games, so that's the style that they got. It's Bug Snacks. I don't know what to make of this game. I don't know what the fuck is going on. I don't know what's happening. All I know is that this walrus was talking to us with this explorer's hat, telling us to go visit this island of Bug Snacks. Then he ate a strawberry with googly eyes, and then his arm became strawberries.
All I know is that Octodad is amazing, so it's gonna get me interested off that.
Yeah, for sure. It's so weird that I have to check it out. But basically, yeah. I'm guessing when you eat things, you turn into the things that you're eating.
You
so this walrus who's like, hey, visit our island and have a ball. His arm turns to the strawberries, and he's just completely okay with it. And
As one should be.
I guess everybody else is, too. Yeah, and the end, some guy's arms are wieners, and that's also okay, too.
Yeah, that's also fine. I mean, also, they blew us through a bunch of other stuff. Ratchet and Clank is back.
Wait, what are you doing? I want to talk about Bugsnax more.
Did you have more on Bugsnax?
No.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Ratchet and Clank is back. Horizon 2. Lost in San Francisco.
is that what it is? Escape from New York / Lost in San Francisco, the game. I was surprised to see Ratchet and Clank back again.
I didn't think,
for whatever reason, I just never thought I'd see them again after they remade the first one.
That remake did really well.
It did. And they even had that movie for a time, too.
Yeah.
But I thought that was it. Like, I thought that was the end of Ratchet and Clank. They remade the first one. They said, you know what? This is the official one. You now have everything. That's the
game. Nope. Now you got a new sequel to the remake.
Yeah. Which, it's fine. Ratchet and Clank made their own new series of games, which is okay. This one looks like it's going to really test out the true capabilities of the console, which I'm pretty excited to see.
That whole, like, I don't remember the actual title, but it has
to do with,
like,
Rift Apart?
Yeah, Rift Apart. It has to do with, like, jumping between universes, and the trailer they showed had Ratchet and Clank, like, falling through these opening rifts and going into different worlds,
mm-hmm.
And I think, like, the big point of there is to, like, showcase those, like, non-existent loading times on the PS5.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Like,
look how quick we're swapping environments.
I'm always curious too as to how that gets communicated to the development team, from the publishers. Like, hey, make a game that really showcases this kind of functionality.
Well, it might almost be like an idea of like, here's the functionality, and them sitting down and thinking, well, what's something we could do with that we wouldn't have been able to do on previous hardware?
Yeah,
and the idea kind of spins from that. So that's cool.
I like it. I like the idea of it. I think being able to jump through rifts, number one, if it looked as smooth as we saw it, that's going to change up things for everybody, a lot of devs, because that's going to be fucking impressive. If you can do all that seamlessly without a load screen, forget about it. You can literally just move seamlessly in between worlds, and that's crazy.
We'll no longer have to hold up logs for each other.
Not at all. And also, I think it's perfect for the Ratchet & Clank universe, because it's just so alien, and there's just so many different creatures that you can see, and the art style itself just works. I was actually questioning, too, how good, or rather I should say, how high def do you think graphics for games like Ratchet & Clank will ever get? Because every time I see it now, I'm thinking this is pretty much the pinnacle of probably what I'm going to see for the rest of my life here with these kinds of games.
I need to see every fur follicle on that Lombax.
I need to see every single...
Well, you know what it is? I saw the comments where people were like, look at how shiny Clank is. Clank is a reflective surface.
Yeah, they got ray tracing. Look at that ray tracing. Yeah. Yeah. I said, look how shiny he looks. He's so clean.
Yeah, that's the pinnacle, is Clank is finally a reflective surface.
I just don't know, but I'm always curious to just know, like, say for games like Ratchet and Clank, where they have a very specific animated, this nice cartoonish kind of art style, I don't know how far they're ever going to go.
Yeah, like, you feel like there's a ceiling
where
you
are. Because, yeah, there definitely is, and there's other games, too, that we saw, that also just were animated or in that style. And they're probably just going to remain in that way. They don't make a business out of being realistic. It's just in that creative style. And I'm wondering, gee, when the PS6 or 7 ever comes out, say 10 to 15 years from now, how is that going to actually look compared to today? And I'm always very curious about that kind of stuff. But for now, it looks fucking nice.
Looks
and now there's
fucking
a
crisp.
What was it? The whole big thing now that people are obsessing over because the internet loves that. There's a female Lombax now.
Yes, there's a lady
named
Lomb.
Ratchet.
Which they really dug deep on that.
I wish they just came out and said, hey, it's Ratchet.
No, let's just say it is.
But yeah, everyone's losing their collective minds over it. I think it looks fucking awesome. But you know what? I wasn't really about Ratchet & Clank. What I was really about was Demon's Souls. I'll talk about Horizon Zero in a moment because I haven't played it, so I don't have anything to say. But I will say, Demon's Souls was announced. The remake. And that's right. I made a mess.
You've demon-souled me on this console.
That's right. I looked at Yoshida after he announced it, and I said, you, exactly what you said. You have demon-souled me. And then he said, you know what? Never mind. We're nixing it. It's over.
Never mind. We're canceling the whole console.
This was clearly a fucking mistake.
This is clearly a mistake. I'm sorry. I don't know what made us think this was a good idea.
Yeah. Bluepoint is the one actually handling the remake, and Bluepoint has handled a number of remakes, namely even Shadow of the Colossus. They are drastically, they're changing the art style of the game in several different ways. It looks fucking great. Like, the game looks fantastic. But they are changing just a few more things just according to the art style for certain bosses and other designs, just to kind of keep it more next gen, which I'm okay with. This has not gone over so well with a lot of people.
Wait a minute. People on the internet are overreacting to something?
They are. They do not like these things. And they think that the artistic integrity of Demon's Souls is being compromised here because it doesn't have the same art style, which it wouldn't. Or rather, I should say not the same art style, that's incorrect, but the same presentation.
Okay.
Which it wouldn't, though, because a lot of Demon's Souls construction and presentation was due to also the limitations of the console.
Of the PlayStation 3, yeah.
Yeah, like all the fog and all that. Which, to be fair, I think that From Software was masterful in the way that they did build these games because they used the console limitations to their advantage in story. Like, say Boletaria, which is the whole kingdom that's undertaken by this colorless fog. It's genius to use fog to basically dictate what you can and can't see, because not only thematically does it tie into the story, but it also allows you not to have such
to work within your limitations.
Yeah. You don't need to go think of distancing. You don't need to think of your immediate... Everything just happens to be in your immediate field of view.
You see that pile of fog? You can go there.
Yeah. And also with the boss doors. The boss doors being blocked by the fog was for the low... Like, there's all reasons for these kinds of things. So now that they're not bound by those limitations, I'm actually really excited to see how they change up the environments, because I've already seen so many different screenshots, and it looks fucking beautiful. It looks so good. And I can't wait to see gameplay videos of this, but they remade the trailer. I highly encourage you folks, if you haven't even seen it, look at the trailer for this game. And I think there's also comparison trailers that people have created. It looks fucking nice. And the Dragon God has never looked better. I think in certain cases, there are some certain monster designs that I wish were, you know, a one-to-one, but you can't get everything you want. I'm going to take the high def. I'm going to take the nice 4K graphics that look high def and have seamless transitions. I'm always just curious to see now how they're going to deal with certain things, like, say, the fog doors or anything else. But it just looks like a really good game. It's coming in holiday 2020. I don't even think they actually said that.
I don't even think
they even said holiday 2020. But I hope it's on launch.
That would be sick.
That would be sick. And I'm a big fan of this game. I think that the lore is one of the best things of this game out of all the Souls games. I don't know if they're going to change up gameplay mechanics, and I'm a little concerned about that, because there are several things about this game that I wish they changed, and I'm wondering if they ever will. So, I don't know.
Do you think they will be more informed by what came after?
I hope so. I was thinking with the wild success of every single game that had happened, I guess with the exception of Dark Souls 2, with the wild success of every game afterward, including Bloodborne, I would hope that they redid some of it, and specifically the magic system. It was something that they were just trying out, you could tell, and it wasn't that great. I hope they fix that, and I also hope that they at least adjust a number of the boss fights, one of them being the titular Dragon God that you see in the game, or in the trailers, that looks so fucking cool. That boss fight is incredibly underwhelming. He's really just kind of in this pit of this volcanic pit in these mines. Like, he's on the bottom. It's almost like a Balrog, if you would, just where he's sitting.
It's the Balrog of Mondor.
Yeah, exactly. And all you really need to do is kind of fire crossbows at it and damage it in its own way. And it's like the titular colossal fight. Like, you know, it's in the center. You're running around it while hiding behind pillars. And then you down it, and then you're able to hit it for a little bit, and then it comes back. It was just like that. And I thought that was just really disappointing, because you have a fucking gigantic god of a dragon called the Dragon God, and
He's like, but I'm here in this pit. This is where I live.
Yeah. There is some other fights, though. One of them, namely, called the Storm King. He looks like this flying manta ray. And you have to use this sword, though, that literally fires winds at it. And I don't even know if that's incorrect or not now. But I believe you have to take, like, this sword and just fire these, like, really strong winds.
No, Eric, that's not Demon Souls. That happened to us when we were in Vermont.
No, wait. It's like, no, that wasn't that. But after the whole thing with this this boss, though, is that it's one of those bosses where after you kill it with this badass weapon that can generate wind shockwaves, you can't use the weapon anymore because they were just like, hey, it's fucking broken.
We created it solely for this boss encounter.
Yeah, so I'm wondering just how they're going to change up these fights, if they do at all. I'd be kind of disappointed to learn if they literally just remade it graphically. Because I think there's just a lot of improvements to make.
I doubt it would be quite that simple.
What?
I said I doubt it would be quite that simple. I'm sure they did some work.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So I hold hope. But amongst the internet, they are not happy with a lot of it. To them, I say, come on.
Come on.
Come on. Give it a chance.
So Demon Souls looks awesome. Also, like we were saying, brief look at Horizon 2.
Yes. And you played Horizon.
I did. I like that game a lot. And interestingly enough, I recall saying I really liked it up until it set up a sequel. It does a really great job of being self-contained. That being said, I'm still excited for a potential sequel here, and Aloy's headed westward. So we saw a look at some new robot animals. There were some big alligators. There were some elephants. I'm up for more of that game. I don't think much more really needs to be said. That game's pretty good. And a sequel seemed, of course, in the cards.
Oh, for sure. It was so wildly successful, and it was coming out on a PC now, that game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it definitely has a lot more visibility to it. I will probably have beaten it by the time it comes out, but it looks great. I love the... One thing I always just like about it is that, of course, they just have those robotic animals, or just robotic wildlife.
By the way, get excited, because the game has a really bonkers and cool explanation in the end game for why those things exist.
Thank God. I was going to say, because I saw in this trailer, there's one that's a big tortoise. I was thinking, okay, who had time to build this? Like, who built this thing and then just threw it in the wild and was like, yep, here you go.
Because I don't know if you know this about Horizon Zero Dawn, because I don't know if the early trailers ever really explained this or if you dug into it at all. It's a post-apocalyptic world.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, I knew that. So it just looks cool. I'm down with it. It looks like the stakes are even higher. I have to say, every time they show sequels to games like that, I always love it when the directors, because they basically had like little small snippets of a director showing up afterwards saying, hey guys, we're excited to bring in this game. They always say the same fucking thing. They go, Aloy's back. Or Ratchet and Clank are back.
Bully 2, Jimmy's back,
Jack. Yeah, Jimmy's back, Jack. And I always think it's so fucking funny, because you really can't, I guess, say anything else. But that's the selling point. Hey, we're back. And we're better than ever. But yeah, that game just looks really good. One that actually took me by surprise, too, was Oddworld.
They're just making another Oddworld's Oddworld. Back.
Like, okay.
Lauren Lanning was there.
Yeah. Which was... I was genuinely surprised. I was like, wow. This is... If you had to tell me anything about this, I wouldn't have believed you. But yeah.
There's Oddworld's been a coming. Lot of ports of Oddworld games recently.
They did. Didn't they redo they Age ported Odyssey?
Yeah, and also, like, Munch's Odyssey and, like... A couple others were put on Switch recently.
Yeah, I'm not really too much into the lore of that game. I really feel like, yeah, you just gotta be in the lore of that game. Because I have no idea what the fuck is going on.
Only Lauren Lanning does. Nobody else.
It looks like it's still very much in the spirit of the Oddworld games. So I guess that looks good.
So, yeah.
Whatever. It was like, cool.
Oddworld's neat.
Oddworld's neat. It's not too bad. They also had some other indie games. One of them was, oddly, one that looked like a visual novel. What was it? Goodbye Meteor High?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that. I don't know what kind of gameplay it's going to have.
What was the one with the cyberpunk cat?
That was... Oh, fuck. That was by Annapurna, right?
Yeah, I can't remember the title of it, but you play as a cat.
Yeah, and people are also just losing their shit. They're just like, oh, man. Let me look up. Annapurna Cat Game. Stray. There we go.
Stray. Yeah, that's a title that makes sense.
And you play as a cat.
I thought that trailer looked super good.
Stray. Yeah. A lot of the trailers actually just presented very well. There was that weird,
Devil
what was
Inside.
That game? Yeah, the Devil Inside. That's been in development for quite some time.
I just like the cuts on that trailer, like where it kind of jumps back and forth from like the monster fighting to like old man taking a bath.
Yeah, I know. And I was just watching it thinking, what's like, the relation with the old man? And then the old man just disappears entirely.
Like, what's the story structure here?
Yeah, and then I was thinking, oh, they're clearly linked in some way, and then eventually they're just not. And I was like, okay.
Well, I had to almost guess it. I feel like it might be one of those games where, like, they're the same character at different points in life.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
Which, I mean, hey, if that ends up being the thing, fine. But that looks pretty cool. They had Sackboy. He's getting his own platformer.
Right. Which makes sense.
A big adventure. At first I was thinking, oh, it's a Little Big Planet, whatever, but I'm like, wait, that doesn't really make a lot of sense, because it's Dreams, and, Sackboy, it looks so... It's just that art style. I love that art style. It looks so fun. So that's just going to probably just be a good platformer and a good time. That team literally has no trouble with making an excellent platformer. So I'm actually pretty excited to just see what happens when they devote all their energy to doing that. I saw Astro's Playroom.
Yes, which seems like just... a more fleshed out, more gamified version of Playroom from PS4.
When I saw the little guy, I said, I know that little guy. I said, Rich showed me this little... It's Astrobot.
I know you, fella.
Yeah, I was like, I know this little guy. What is he doing?
So that's going to be a pack-in. They haven't said if there's a VR component. I would bet you there probably is for those that have the headset.
I remember you were saying this, too, in the very beginning as to what we can expect from PS5, and you were even mentioning that we'll probably see some more VR or PSVR compatibilities.
Yeah. Jesus, now thinking about this, how did we forget about Resident Evil?
I was going to say, there was even Hitman 3.
Yeah, Yeah, Hitman 3, I fucking love the new Hitman franchise. The dramatic conclusion to this new Hitman trilogy, apparently.
I don't even know, because I'm not... I haven't really played the games. From what I saw, this looks like some dystopian future. The buildings this guy is going up and these skyscrapers, it just looks so futuristic, it's not.
That just probably depends on the setting, like, where you are. Like, cause, you know, sometimes you were in, like, Morocco and you were in, like, the slums or whatever. You know, you're a globetrotting hitman.
Yeah. It just looked good. It looked good, too. I'm actually pretty... I know that there are some people, or even some of our friends, who actually like Hitman a lot, you included, too. So I'm actually curious to see...
Yeah, our friend Parmisi and I both really like that game. I yell at him for playing it incorrectly. Watching him play Hitman gives me anxiety.
That's why you always just gotta close your eyes and just walk away. Let him assassinate his own enjoyment.
All the weird rumors about Resident Evil 8 were somehow true.
Yeah, I know. That's even weirder. They were all completely true.
It's called Village. It's got werewolves.
Let me tell you, when I first read those rumors for Resident Evil, I'm like, you know, Capcom's weird sometimes, but they're not that strange. It's 150% true. You read about it.
Trailer showed all of the weird, bonkers shit the leak said the game would have.
Yeah, and not one... I have to say, I don't know how crazy a lot of the leaks got, but the ones that I heard, from what I've seen, every single one tracked. There was not a single one that was like, oh, well, they didn't have this. Yeah, they even had the fucking werewolves. I was like, what?
What's going on with Chris?
I don't know.
Happens to him in between?
Big.
You saw him. He shows up at the end of 7.
Yes, he shows up in 7 and also looks different.
Yeah, he looks like especially handsome. But like, what is Chris Redfield all right?
He's literally donning a big ass trench coat, and he's just thick. I don't know what happened to him. I don't know what's going on, but I kind of want to see more.
When I look at Resident Evil 1 Chris Redfield, I just immediately think of, there's this meme going around that was, it was a Dragon Ball Z meme where it was like, the most important character development in Dragon Ball Z is Vegeta's neck, and it shows, like, Vegeta's first appearance versus in the middle of the Buu saga, where his neck's, like, now a tree trunk. It's the same character growth.
I'm so in this, though. I keep thinking, after this trailer, I was thinking, wow, this is going to be just as popular as Resident Evil 4 for the next gen.
And
it looks like it's got it all.
They didn't say, but I'm hoping this is VR compatible.
I do too, because you've always talked very highly of the...
I think VR made 7 that much better. Like, again, I remember talking to you about it at the time, being like, the tension building you kind of can't get without VR... Because one of the main things I added was, like, you open doors in 7 if you're in VR or in the regular game just by pushing into them. But you can kind of see through the crack as you're pushing it open. So, like, in 7, like, I would, like, peer through doors before I go in. Like, that's not the way I play video games, but in VR, like, your brain just has you playing it instinctually differently.
Yeah, and the game just looks... It just looks so different that I'm sure it's just going to be such a great experience if they did bring it to VR. It just looks so... I don't know. It's just a departure from what they usually do, which I'm down for.
And it's 7
is exactly what you kind of need.
I mean, 7 totally was that as well. But
I know. But it's just double downing on it.
Yeah.
And it's like, just really committing to it.
If anything, it's almost arguable that 7 was more back to basics because it was just like Haunted House again.
Yeah, but this one's Haunted Village.
Yeah. Again. Well, you gotta. Yeah. again. Where did everybody go?
But bingo. There's werewolves this time.
And. Based on if I'm believing every word of that leak now, so probably also witches.
Why the fuck not? Is Chris Redfield being taken control of by a witch? Who knows?
Let's find out.
Let's go to the spooky outdoors and see. it just looks so wacky, though. And anybody I've ever spoken to so far who are big fans of this game, they're like, I had no fucking clue what is going on.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't tell. I know it's Ethan again, the protagonist from 7. But I have no idea what the fuck could have happened between the end of Resident Evil 7 and this to get him where he is. Yeah. Like, that game ended with him, like, Chris Redfield, like, whisking Ethan away in a helicopter and being like, I'm here to talk to you about the Avengers initiative.
And then they come in and they recruit the werewolf man.
Yeah,
man. We have the wolf man, we have the T-virus man. We have a lot.
We have the president's daughter's bodyguard.
Yeah. It's gonna be good. Other games, one of them was called Project Athia. This one looked, at first when I saw this, I thought that this was going to be the game that Epic Games had shown initially when touting the Unreal Engine.
Okay.
I
don't think that's a real game, what they
showed. No, it's not. Well, that's the thing. It wasn't a real game. But then I saw this and I was like, oh, maybe they were doing the real. It has nothing to do with that, though. And it looks good. This is a game that also just looks good. It looks a lot more heavily focused on exploration and, again, really taking advantage of the console's capabilities to really just build a world. I don't know. The power-ups just look really cool. It looks like you're controlling nature and you're just hopping around environments really quickly. And
I love
just
nature.
I know. Well, that's... I'm not even kidding. That's why, like, when I was watching it, I was thinking, wow, nature is beautiful.
Then I closed the blackout curtains and continued watching this video.
Yeah, then someone said, do you want to come to the park? And I said, shut up! But it does. It looks really good. And also from Arkane Studios... is it Arkane Interactive?
I think it's Arkane Interactive, yeah.
Yeah, they're coming out with Deathloop.
Yeah, which is a timed PlayStation exclusive, apparently.
Yeah, that looked really stylish. And
we
really
saw cool. that last E3, but yes, got, like, no info on it.
Nope. And this one's just a bigger trailer with a lot of different ways that you can kill people, and I think that I'm down with that. I mean, Dishonored, it's basically the Dishonored engine with a bunch of other stuff, so I'm in. It's such a blast to play those games.
Opposing assassins locked in a time loop.
Yeah.
We saw gameplay from another timed PlayStation exclusive, apparently, Ghostwire Tokyo.
Yes, and I don't know how to feel about that, but I was thinking, why isn't this a VR title, too? I was like, wow.
Was it third person?
No, it was first.
Okay, well, yeah.
No, it was first person.
Also, again... For all,
just have hands.
Maybe it is. And they're just not showing those aspects yet.
I every time I watched the entire trailer, I was just thinking, you know, this actually be a pretty good VR game if they ever did it in the long term. It looked nice. I don't know what to make of it, but I was just thinking, wow, this just looks so fucking strange. And I think it's got that going for it. So, I mean, that's a good thing. It has me intrigued. So I'm actually looking forward to kind of learning more about that. Yeah. There was also, what was it? I'm trying to think. Returnal. Okay. Returnal is the worst. I couldn't deal with it at the time. I just started laughing hysterically because they were just like, hey, what's a game, what's a name that we can come up with about always going back to the same point in time from when you died and having it happen forever? And they just came up with
Returnal. And they came up with Returnal.
This game looks like a game that's based off of...
Because Deathloop was already taken.
Yeah, for sure. I know, right? Two games that are based on this kind of the same concept here. Returnal is a game, it looks like it's a third-person space action-y kind of game, sci-fi, horror, thriller, that basically focuses on this woman who is traversing this alien planet that just obviously contains nothing but horror and death, I would imagine. And every time she dies, she basically gets returned to the same point, which is right when she's about to land on the planet. Or at least that's what I'm thinking. I don't know what the setting is for where she actually is.
The point of departure is going to be. Yeah.
But it looks great. I get heavy Alien vibes from it, which I'm guessing is the entire thing of where they're trying to go. I get heavy Dead Space vibes from it, which you can't go wrong there. But it's literally that Tom Cruise movie. It was Live, Die, Repeat, but I think it was called Edge of Tomorrow first.
Yeah.
And it's literally that. I'm imagining that there's a certain alien or certain point in this game where you have to succeed and then you win. I don't know if it's going to be roguelike qualities. It probably will.
The
I don't know.
The alien's Tom Cruise.
Yeah, I don't know if Tom Cruise is going to show up, but it looked good. I was into it. I'm always into a good sci-fi horror game, and you make it third person, I'm going to associate it with Dead Space, so let's go.
Cool.
Totally fucking down with that. There are a couple of other games, though. Go look them up. They're good.
We touched on the bigger ones.
Yeah, those are the biggie ones. Solar Ash, shout out, because that's by the people who made Hyper Light Drifter and Sayonara.
There was a story I forgot to put in here, but I wanted to bring it up quick because I thought it was fucking hysterical.
Oh, wow. When you build it up like that.
Yeah. I don't know if you heard about this. Do you know that Ubisoft game, Gods and Monsters, they're working on?
Yes.
For about 30 minutes last week, a dev build of it was uploaded to Stadia, and a bunch of people downloaded it.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
I don't know, but I bet you Stadia's in hot water with Ubisoft about it.
Can you imagine if Ubisoft just says, you know what, fuck you, and they walk away? They literally wouldn't.
So a bunch of
people, they don't need that. They don't need more people to walk away from that.
Yeah, exactly. So a bunch of people got into it, and they were like, yeah, this is totally a Greek Breath of the Wild. More interesting part is it's a dev build, an early one, so there's a lot of placeholder assets in it.
Mm.
And they're all from Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
I thought that, which is interesting, because wasn't Gods and Monsters heavily delayed? Or wasn't it delayed indefinitely by Ubisoft?
I don't know. It never had a date to begin with.
No, it didn't, but it was just like, I actually remember, hold on, I know I'm...
Yeah, look into it. I'm sure you are.
Yeah, yeah, no, okay. I knew I was right as rain on this one. So, Gods and Monsters, I think it was sometime earlier this year. It was, at the time, just delayed indefinitely. And a lot of the people on the game were speaking about it, just that they were told to let it just go for right now. Mainly because it was supposed to release on February 25th, 2020.
Was it?
Yeah, it was. It was supposed to release earlier this year. And they just said... Nah.
I didn't realize
isn't
that
crazy? So, for right now, that team, I believe, was shifted to work on other projects. And that's where it was. So, the fact that a dev kit got released on that is equally just as bad, because who the hell knows where that is in development, if it even was still in development at this time.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Just because it's that kind of game that really shouldn't have even been released in any capacity.
Yeah, I just thought that was interesting. Especially because it's such a weird way for a thing to get put out there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But that's pretty funny. Now Stadia's going to get fucked. Fun.
Because they were doing so well before.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, anytime on the release radar, you're like, oh, it's coming for Stadia. What's that? Itch.io released a bundle for racial justice. We've spoken about it a few times here and there.
Yeah.
It's literally up to $5, or at the very least $5 that you get for hundreds of games.
1,600 currently.
It's insane. It's insane. If you just want, if you didn't have anything like a Steam backlog and you're a fortunate soul and you're thinking, hey, I want something,
you can
that
create
I want,
one.
Yeah, you can literally make one yourself for $5, which I think is a hell of a deal. They have great games, like Rich was saying. What was it? Was it Into the Woods?
Night in the Woods is on there. Nuclear Throne.
Yeah, so Nuclear Throne there.
It's good indies. There's a lot of good stuff in there.
There's plenty of good indies there. Even just small games, big games, large. You get the whole menagerie of different indie games in there. So, highly recommend that. You will immediately get bang for your buck for that. You do have to download them. I don't think that there's a streaming service like Steam for that. So
yeah,
you're not
no.
gonna have that, but I mean, hell, it's such a ridiculous deal that even if you're remotely
and for a good
interested
cause.
In five of the games, yeah, honestly, even if you just like five of those games, you should just buy for $5. Last of Us is coming out.
Yeah, it is.
People were mean.
Yeah, Last of Us is launching next week, and people were mean to Neil Druckmann. And he's mad about it. So to catch you up. I want to talk about this because it's such a weird fucking exchange on Twitter. I'll bring you up on the original tweet just to make sure we're all on the same page. So Jeff Cannata tweeted the stupidest thing I've ever read in my entire fucking life, and I stand by that. This is him talking about The Last of Us 2. He said, and I quote, "In a medium where everything is John Wick, The Last of Us Part 2 is Schindler's List. And just like that film, there were just times when I wasn't sure I could keep going."
That's a... What's his face? Jeff Cannata?
Yeah. He like, what a fucking take. Like, it's one of those things of, like video games are art, of course, like, but you just sound so up your own ass when you say shit like that. And then, like, I actually found this funny. Bob Mackey retweeted it, and he put, one of the all-time bad gaming takes. Print this out and bronze it. Truly, Ikaruga is the Elie Wiesel's knight of the shoot-em-ups.
Oh, boy.
Jeez. And then Jason Schreier retorted with, see, Bioshock's audio logs are a lot like the Diary of Anne Frank. Neil Druckmann basically took a screenshot of all of this and retweeted it with all due respect, I find these kinds of ironic jokes to be unproductive at best. We can do better with critical discourse, especially by those of us with thousands of followers, and especially about sensitive subject matter. Which my thought was, like, okay, we've gotta laugh at this guy, because what a fucking tacky comparison.
Yeah, and,
I think Neil's too close to the project, you know.
I think it's Neil just Druckmann silly
to make, like, a calculated decision about how people should talk about this game.
Yeah, and you know, for what it's worth, I understand what he was going for. A lot of people were immediately jumping on, how could you compare this game to the Holocaust? And that's not...
It's because he's pretentious.
Yeah, well, also, that's also not what was happening, either. It was just saying, hey... This game, very much like another movie that's well-regarded, that just happened to be Schindler's List.
Yeah.
There were times where I'm imagining that he just had such a strong emotional reaction to it that he was saying, oh, I can't, you know, I may need to walk away from this for a few and then come back. And it affected him, which, you know, I get. He was just trying to say he was deeply affected.
I get what he's saying.
I still think it's funny.
Yeah, I still think it's hilarious because I do agree that I think it's a really tacky comparison, and he probably should have thought about it before he tweeted that out.
Yeah, and I actually feel bad for him, too, because you know what? The internet is absolutely just exploding.
Yeah.
And, you know, there were other tweets, though, that, frankly... It's all opinionated. It's all subjective. You have people who are just saying that this, The Last of Us 2, is the best game that's ever gonna come out. It's a masterpiece. Nobody's ever gonna touch this.
The funnier part is the
takes. I'm just like rolling my eyes.
The takes are so polarizing.
Yeah.
Where it's like it's either that or it's like what heavy-handed garbage.
Yeah, and I think, honestly...
And I'm not going to speak one way or another, because we haven't played it yet.
Yeah, I know, and that's exactly why. I actually don't like reading this kind of crap, because I think both sides of the extremes of that are just as equally bad. If somebody just said, yes, hey, this game sucks, it's not good at all, the story is shoddy at best, it builds upon the first one, but it's miles away from it, especially because you don't have a lot of people... who were a part of the previous team. And I actually haven't dug too heavily into the actual... Obviously, I'm not trying to spoil myself here. But you have such giants who are not a part of the overall design of the second one. Namely, even Bruce Straley. Or Bruce Straley, I should say.
Straley.
Who was one of the directors. And for lack of any other better term, basically the right hand to Neil's left. Who worked so closely together and made the first game. And he's not a part of this anymore. So there are going to probably just be differences from a lot of people who left Naughty Dog the first time around into the second game. So when you hear that everything sucks right now, that's terrible. But on the other hand, when I also hear this is a masterpiece, nothing's ever going to come close, I woke up the next day and I went into a fetal position and I just started crying. Because the story was just so fucking effective and emotional.
Same way after I watched the first Transformers film.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the second you hear Sam Witwicky. It's just,
are you ladies' man? You.
It is. You know what? I'm on board where I just think that's fucking. It's cringy. It's cringy, and it does not inspire me to get hyped for any of that. Because I agree with your opinion that this had such a great reaction for you, I support that. I think it's fantastic. I think there just comes to a certain degree where you're just tacking it on. And like, are you actually going to go outside to people and tell them when you're discussing this game in a public forum, oh, this game really, it changed me.
It's the Citizen Kane of video games.
Was such a masterpiece, such a work of art that I framed the box. I framed it and I put it in my room, you know, and I tell my wife to look at it every single night because I think
she's
leaving me. Yeah. I think it's so overreactive, and it's just not something that even if I heard that outside of this
medium, it's not a nuanced take.
It's not. It's so and I get it. Everybody's passionate about this. I will talk to you to death about oh my god, I was going to say Dead Souls. Jesus fuck. I will talk to you to death about Dead Space. I will talk to you to death about Demon Souls and the Soul series because I love those. I'll even talk to you to death about Donkey Kong Country 2 and just how awesome and masterful the level design is in that. But I wouldn't do it in such a way where I'm like, hey, when I wake up in the morning, I want to have a fucking Dole Banana because I love DK.
Do you know why you don't? Because that's not genuine.
It's not.
There's nothing
genuine about that.
It's
disingenuous. And I have never in my life met somebody... And these are people who are also in an industry of developers. I have known a few people who are actually developers who live, breathe, and die these kind of things and also don't talk this way. Because it's not being marketed.
I think we do have, like you're saying, to your credit, like, certain games we talk about in, like, breathless ways of, like, how much we enjoy them. Like, for me, I would say, like, Persona is among those pillars of, like, games I can indefinitely talk about because I have so many opinions about it. But I've never spoken about a video game, movie, book, anything... in the way we're talking about here.
Yeah, and I assure you, it has nothing to do with lack of passion. It really doesn't. I think that there have been films that have absolutely touched me, but I would still never go into that kind of discourse to the degrees that I've been seeing. It's just, it's almost too much. And yeah, these are, to your point, these are figures in the industry, in the public media, in the media and content creation industry, that, frankly, they make their money off of this. And I'm sorry. I'm not in the direct boat where I think that people are getting paid for reviews or anything, but this is a business. People get marketed. And I just look at this and I'm like, ugh, like, maybe this game really isn't going to be as good as I think because it seems way too heavy-handed that, I have never even seen as for The Last of Us.
Because Eric, I have a confession to make.
Rich, don't do this to me. Don't do that.
After I gave The Messenger a 10 out of 10...
Oh, my God.
This team at Sabotage Studios bought me a beer.
I fucking knew it. I fucking knew you were in their pockets. I knew it. You're no better than anyone. They bought me a beer and a bag
when
of
I ran
Lay's
into
chips.
Them when I was at a bar in Boston.
You're just like... You're in the corporate's pockets! No, but it's a lot, and I try to be very optimistic and not pessimistic about these things where I feel like I'm constantly just being marketed to. I like to think that these people in these industries have genuine enthusiasm, because they do, and I've met so many of them, but it's like, god damn, man, pick a soapbox. And now I'm going to go into this game thinking I'm either going to get shit or a masterpiece, and that's going to influence my thinking.
The funny part is, actually, the way it influences me, and I know this is how my brain works when I hear shit like that, is... my brain shoots the opposite way and goes, this is going to fall somewhere in the middle for me. Where I know there's going to be moments that are going to feel awesome and I'm like, this is great. And then there's going to be moments where I'm like, Jesus Christ, we fucking get it. Because I totally believe, because it is not out of... It's so quantifiable to me that there's going to be bits of this game that are probably going to feel super heavy-handed.
Yeah, for sure. And you know what? Not for nothing. I did play the first Last of Us I played it literally this year. And I thought... I even talked about it a few times here. I thought it was just as fantastic. I thought it was fantastic. I did.
Yeah, it's a great game. I replayed it this year around the same time.
I thought it was well-deserving of its titles and its accolades that it got on the awards. I think even more so, it was one of the best games that I had played, for sure. But I'm not going to... I'm going to leave it at that. If that's not a ringing endorsement for you, I don't know what would be. But I'm like, we'll see what happens here. How are they going to change it up? Am I going to get the same reaction? I don't know. But I'm not trying to expect that. I'm just going to try to expect to play a good game.
A part two is never better. If Back to the Future couldn't do it, what makes you think you can?
Back to the Future part three was good, though. I like that movie.
I think it's the weakest of the three.
They had a train.
They did.
They had a time train.
I don't dislike it. I just think it's the weakest of the three.
And it's not even just Jeff Cannata, and I apologize if that's the incorrect pronunciation, but it's not just him. It's also the outlets. It's also a bunch of other things. And no, I'm not trying to be a contrarian for the sake of it to say, well, what if it's not... it just may, I don't know. Sometimes you if you have to read that and just go, eh, I thought it was funny. I think it's funny. I think it's almost satirical in the way that I read these sometimes, because I think there was even an article by the Hollywood Reporter that literally touches upon this game and says, I guess games now are seriously trying to take on the medium. Or rather, I should say, this is going to be misquoted, I apologize, but the line of thinking from this article was, I believe that with The Last of Us 2's release, I think movies can learn a thing or two from the game, or something like that. That movies, you know, can learn something from games have learned from movies. And I was thinking, no.
It's one of those moments where I read something like that, and I'm like, someone just started playing games this year.
Yeah, I was like, no. This is not the only game
that's ever, like, come close to touching a piece of cinema, and it's ridiculous to say it is.
Yeah, and I guarantee you, it's not Neil Druckmann that's walking around saying this bullshit.
I mean,
it's
we
not
all Naughty played Dog Sneak walking around
saying this bullshit. It's the community, and I think it's funny. Yeah, it's I think it's almost community. Funny. So now Jason Schreier too from Kotaku. Everybody pretty much knows him, and if you don't, he writes a lot of articles about the video gamies. He's also losing his
shit. No longer from Kotaku, though. Probably
worth. No, he's not. I'm sorry. I apologize. He was well known from his work at Kotaku, I should say, in his book Blood, Sweat, and Pixels. He's also losing his shit and just arguing with everybody because he was he did not take any of this well.
Well, the thing was, I kind of read for some context there, and basically, like, he added a comment, like, to Neil, basically saying, like, hey, word of you to kind of make this personal. And somebody was like, oh, why are you bringing this up in a public forum? And my immediate thought was, well, clearly, like, Neil's bringing it up on a public forum by screenshotting something he tweeted and retweeting it. But that's hardly the point.
Yeah.
At which point Jason says that he, you know, the night before had a private conversation with Neil where Neil apologized to him for bringing up public stuff on Twitter and then tweeted this out the next day. And I'm like, what a baffling situation that we'll never fully understand.
Yeah, and I don't, with drama, I really don't give a fuck, but it's entertaining sometimes.
It's fun to watch.
Yeah, it's fun to watch. So I'm wondering, I'm genuinely wondering how the game is going to be. I gotta admit, I'm a little concerned. Because the more I hear about how good something is, it's usually because it's not.
The stakes have never been lower for me.
Yeah. I know I'm sounding incredibly hypocritical because I just said The Last of Us was fantastic and worth of everything, and I agree. That also had 7 years of history behind it to let it breathe and be played. But when a game that I have never even, I don't know, it's a game that already out the gate I didn't think need a sequel. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see how it's going to match up or stand on the shoulders of its predecessor.
I'm going to be curious if, am I going to walk out the other side of this going, I would have rather never played this and just had it end for me mentally with the first one.
This one's longer too, right? I believe it's 25 it's hours, which is longer. Way longer than I believe. I think it's like 10 hours longer than the first one that I played.
Yeah,
I think I clocked
yeah.
in around 13 to 15. So I'm very curious. I'm excited. I could say that. I'm anticipating something and I'm anticipating some good stuff. But like you were even saying earlier, yeah, I think the length is going to hurt it. I think I'm going to walk away wishing that it probably wasn't so long, but I still think that it's probably a solid game. You can't fight the unanimous. This game's fucking.
I'm very worried that it is gonna, like we're saying there, overstay its welcome, because I think the first one could have easily run the risk of doing that had it gone on longer than it did.
I know, and it's gonna be if it's good, it's good. I'm fine with it. Let's do it. I just have this little nagging feeling in my mind now that things are just so. But you gotta play the game. Yo,
embrace
as always,
that feeling.
You gotta play the game. Yeah, embrace the feeling. Go in with a subjective mindset and just
steer into the skid.
Steer in and see what it is. I'm gonna go in blank, so I'm hoping it's good. If you're reading any of these reviews, though, I say ignore everything entirely. Just know this: it reviewed incredibly well. Walk away with that. That's it.
Yeah,
that's all you need to know. Don't read into any of this bullshit. Even the drama that we had just expressed. It's because we found it. And I thought it was entertaining, and I thought it was kind of fucking funny.
I was literally reading these tweets minutes before the podcast started, and yeah. I was like, this will be funny to talk about.
Rich was talking to me on Skype about it before we were even recording, and he was like, did you hear about this? And I was immediately, I was reading it already before he had even brought it up. So, I think it's going to be a good game, though. I think we're going to have a good time. Is it bad that I'm kind of more hyped for Ghost of Tsushima?
No, I am too. I'm like, wait.
I kind of thought about it in the back of my mind. Like, whenever I think of The Last of Us, honestly, I'm thinking, oh, that's 1 month from Ghosts. us. Like,
yeah, no, I'm like, oh, cool, Ghost is. I'm way more excited for Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens, though. But who knows? Next week, you may hear me singing the Thai praises, because chances are I'm going to try to beat it before the next cast. It's 25 hours, though, so I don't think it's going to be possible. I think I'm going to be pretty close then. So we'll see.
We will definitely see. You got any other big ones?
I don't. The only thing I'm going to say is just say game is good, bro.
Game is good. And with that, I guess I'll move us into housekeeping for the week.
Let's do it.
You ready to keep that house?
I'm ready to keep.
All right. Big thanks to Ed for our wonderful, wonderful intro. Thanks to Heather Ramos for our glorious logo there. Ask us questions, geckogamespodcast@gmail.com, and we'll read them on the air. Find us on Twitter. Find Eric at @beautiful_Eric, and you can find me at @TheRichMeister0. But until next time, it's been our pleasure to be here with you talking about Twitter feuds.
Oh, God. And let's just never do this again.
Let's do this again all the time. We'll catch you next week.
Bye, everybody.